Welcome to Talking New Energy, a podcast from Delta EE, the new energy experts. We'll be talking about how the energy transition is developing across Europe, with guests who are working at the leading edge of this transition. In this episode, we're looking at platforms, one of the hot topics in the new energy sector in Europe today. Platforms can mean different things to different people. On one hand, businesses like Airbnb and Uber are platform businesses, connecting buyers and sellers. And in previous podcasts, we've looked at these sorts of platform businesses in the energy sector, for example, for installing heating appliances or for auto switching. But today, we're looking at a different type of platform, one that connects large numbers of assets together, assets such as hot water tanks, electric vehicles and batteries. Today, I'm joined by leaders from two platform businesses, Sandra Trishan from Tyco, based in Switzerland, and Connor Maher-McWilliams, head of flexibility at Kaluza from the UK. Hello, Sandra. Thanks very much for joining.
Hello. Thank you as well.
And Connor, nice to have you on the podcast as well.
Hi, John. Thanks for the invite.
Sandra and Connor, before coming back to each of you, I'd like to welcome my last guest. Regular listeners to the podcast will know her well, so my colleague here at Delta, Charmaine Coutinho. Hello, Charmaine.
Hi, John.
So, Charmaine, why, from your point of view, why are platforms such a hot topic in the market today?
Well, it's very interesting, and it kind of goes back to one of the key elements that we assume about the energy transition at the moment. So the energy system is decentralizing. You know, that's a line that we all kind of believe in, and what we see is the market. But this actually means that there's a lot more assets in the market, so millions and millions of assets rather than, you know, tens or hundreds of large power stations. And all of those assets are either already in homes and businesses, or they'll come. Some of them might be very simple things like smart thermostats, all the way down to electric vehicles and what will come in the future. And I think, interestingly, more and more of them are connected. It's almost like a default these days. And when you hear people talk about the Internet of Things relative to assets, I think what's really clear is that connectivity between them all is almost the default now. So how those assets are connected has to go through a centralized place. And that is where the conclusion comes to a platform, in order for us to maximize value, but also to make sure that the electricity or the energy system benefits it from it as a whole.
So, Charmaine, there are lots of assets that can be and are being connected to platforms, from batteries to electric vehicles to hot water tanks. They're a hot topic. Does everyone have a platform today, or does every energy company want a platform? Is everyone building one or buying one or developing one?
I think the key thing is that most people realise that they do need one. So maybe in the last 5-10 years, people have been busy deploying assets and now building into that some sort of connectivity. I think people are realising is, well, what do they connect to? Is it a gateway? Is it a hub? Is it something else? And who owns or runs that platform? So it's really emerging at the moment because of the systems and the assets have been put into place so far, but also where future value may come from.
Okay. Now, let's come back to Sandra and Connor. Sandra, let's start with Tyco. Can you give us an elevator pitch for Tyco? For those of the listeners that don't know Tyco, what is Tyco? What do you do?
Mm-hmm. So Tyco has been founded in 2012, and exactly for the reasoning that Charmaine was mentioning. We were seeing the decentralization of the energy industry, and we realized that the residential sector is playing one of the most important parts in that change, and also for all our energy transition. And we saw a need that there would be a platform to connect all these devices, as Charmaine was mentioning before. But we also saw that it's not only about connectivity, but what you do afterwards, when you have all of these devices connected, and that there is a need for valuable business models who are exactly sustainable also for the future.
Yeah, and so what are those, Sandra? Because on one hand, you can connect everything to a platform, but then what do you do with that? What's the value? What's the business case?
So what makes us unique is that on one side, we create a virtual power plant where we use the flexibility of the connected assets in different markets, like portfolio optimization, balancing group, up to frequency regulation. Mm-hmm. And on the other side, we provide a home energy management system to the device owner. We use for that to combine both, we use machine learning algorithm to do that without any impact for the owner of the device.
Okay, and how did Tico start? You mentioned you started in 2012, so you've been going 7 years or so. Startup, venture capital backed, spin-off, tell us a bit about where Tico came from.
Yeah, so our origin comes from Swisscom, a Swiss telco operator. We have been founded and spin off out of Swisscom in 2012, and we started to connect all existing assets at that time, which were mainly water tanks, heat pumps, night storage, direct heaters. Mm-hmm. In 2016, we moved out of our focus of Switzerland, and now we are running business in Germany, Switzerland, France, and in Austria.
Okay. And could you give us an example of maybe a couple of the different things you're doing, maybe what you're doing in Switzerland and what you're doing in one of the other markets?
Yes, for sure. In Switzerland, we are running the virtual power plant ourselves, mm-hmm. With mainly heating customers. So we have acquired, installed, and supporting our customers directly because we had to see if the technology and the business case would work. Mm-hmm. We put the flexibility there on the fast frequency market. In the meantime, outside of Switzerland, we are providing our solution as a white label solution to utilities, for example, to EWE in Germany, mm-hmm. To Sonnen in Germany to put the batteries on the frequency market, or to Engie in France.
Okay. So you've got a hybrid model in Switzerland. You're doing the whole value chain and going direct to market. And in other countries, you're working with partners.
Exactly.
Okay. Connor, let's move to Kaluza. And maybe first of all, the name, it's quite a distinctive name. What is it, or where does the name come from?
Yeah, so Kaluza, the name comes from Theodor Kaluza, who was a Polish-born German mathematician who introduced a new dimension to space and time when trying to unify the theories of general relativity and electromagnetism. And we see platforms such as ours as introducing the new dimension of time to the consumption of electricity.
Okay, a new dimension to the electricity sector. And as Sandra did, can you tell us in a nutshell what Kaluza does, what it is, and how you're working?
Yeah, sure. So Kaluza is the energy technology division of OVO Group and is formed around a range of core capabilities designed to offer end-to-end solutions for the energy transition and primarily focused in the domestic sector. So we provide smart hardware and electric vehicles, electric heating, and home energy storage systems, and a platform to optimize these devices alongside smart metering services.
Okay, so the platform to collect the data, to analyze it, to create business cases from that data, but also the hardware as well?
Yeah, that's right. So we've over the past number of years, we've invested in some hardware businesses. So we're building our own electric vehicle smart chargers and V2G charge points, as well as providing hardware that through our partners as well in electric heating.
Okay. And the relationship with OVO Group. So for those of you that don't know, OVO's an energy supplier in the UK and I think active in other countries as well. What's your relationship with OVO? Are you integrated into the supply business or a separate standalone part of the group?
Yeah, so we are an OVO Group business, but we're entirely separate from OVO Energy and the other retail businesses. So earlier this year, Kaluza was launched as a separate business to be able to offer end-to-end solutions to both OVO and other suppliers through working with OEMs and grid-side operators.
Okay. Now, the next thing I want to explore is the key functions and elements of a platform. To some, it may seem slightly intangible. The platform is in the cloud or a data center. You're collecting data. You're doing things with the data. So how could you boil this down into a few key functions or elements? Sandra, can I start with Tico, and how would you break the platform down into something that people can understand or something tangible?
I would even take in addition the boundaries of the platform. So for us, it always starts with the possibility to integrate different kind of devices on that platform through hardware or API. And it must be possible to include every kind of device, supplier independent, because you want to include everyone to be able to participate on your platform. Then as a second piece, we see the communication and the data handling as being a central point. It has to be cost efficient because you will be handling millions of data points, and it needs to be reliable for different kind of energy and grid services for the virtual power plant. And then overall, it has to be secure, especially when we talk about the growing capacity that these platforms are building up. And last but not least, it's also the value proposition that you need to build up. What Kauna was mentioning is about shifting energy in time. Yep. You need to do that in an intelligent way with the help of smart algorithms, of artificial intelligence, to do it in a way that the end customer is not impacted, but instead it creates additional value for the owner of that asset.
Connor, anything you'd add from your perspective, or do you segment that differently from how Cassandra described it?
I think there's a lot of common elements, but maybe if I just walk through how our platform is sort of segmented from the point of view of a smart EV charge point. So whenever we install a smart EV charge point in a residential home, we need to be able to have a connection to that asset. So that's one key part of the platform. We also need a connection to the customer, so we can understand the customer's needs for their assets. So for an example of an EV, when they needed to be ready, and also surface them some insights about what we're doing with the platform. We then need algorithms to understand that end asset and the physical parameters of the connected electric vehicle, its charging behavior, and some of the sort of chemical profiles of the battery that we're charging. And then, as Sandra mentioned, intelligent orchestration of these devices is key. And there's kind of two key parts to that. One of them is understanding the flexibility that's available. And then two is deciding on how you dispatch that flexibility in the most valuable way and in which markets. And then, yeah, in order to create value from that, you need your platform to be connected to as many markets and networks as possible.
Okay. And Connor, do you think that Kaluza, you'll always operate the complete value chain yourselves? Or do you think you'll be flexible in terms of working with partners, and the partners might take care of certain parts of that value chain and you others?
Yeah, so I think for our partners, particular supply partners, we can offer most value whenever we can package up the whole value chain and deliver that to them. And based on our sort of technical capabilities, we see ourselves well positioned to do everything from connection to understanding how best to extract value from flexibility available. Having said that, in certain cases, we'll encounter a partnership with someone who's already got connection to their devices and has built that infrastructure. So in that case, they may hold that part of the value chain, and then we plug in the energy intelligence to their system.
Okay. Sandra, what's your views on that? Because you're working with different partners in different countries, how flexible are you, or do you think you need to be, or will you be, in terms of what you will do and what others will do?
Yeah, so what we saw due to the different countries or being active in these countries is that we need to be flexible. Up to now, we also know that we can be most efficient if we do the full end-to-end chain from connectivity to the value proposition as virtual power plant or as home energy management system. Mm-hmm. But we get increasingly more requests where people tell us, I already have a piece of a platform, or I already have the connectivity, or I just want to connect through API, our devices to a platform, and then we are really open to that. It just might impact in terms of regulatory requirements, the capability of the platform for monetization on different kind of energy markets.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I think what I hear from both of you is that there's you both would ideally like to do more of the value chain or most of the value chain, but in cases you will need to be flexible in working with different partners. That brings me to my next question, which is around scale. So there's obviously a lot of cost in developing the platform, in maintaining it, in storing the data, developing the algorithms, and so on. And that cost would need to be spread across a certain size of customer base. So two questions for each of you. First of all, how many assets, well, three questions. How many assets do you have on your platform at the moment, roughly? How many assets could your platform cope with? And what scale do you think you need to reach in order to, are we talking thousands of assets, hundreds of thousands of assets? What sort of scale do you need to reach for this to be a successful, profitable business? Sandra, let's start with you and then turn to Connor.
Okay, so for your first question on how many assets we have connected, we have more than 20,000 assets connected today, and we control each of them per second. The platform has been built up for the purpose to connect up to 1 million assets. We are happy to explore everything beyond, but we thought, okay, let's get to that point. It mainly has an impact on the IT architecture. Then, for the point, what is the amount that we would need to be at scale, let's say, the more the better. I think we would have to wait probably 1 or 2 more years to reach the necessary amount.
Connor, your take on those three questions.
Yeah, sure. So I think on the on the asset question, so we're aggregating, you know, kilowatt scale assets, and we're in the megawatts, nearly in the tens of megawatts range with that, but and growing apace. And I think in terms of the scalability of the platform, I think the way we've sort of approached the scale problem is not to build a platform capable of managing millions of devices from the outset, but building it in a modular and scalable way, following a microservices architecture and a cloud native approach. So that enables us to call on sort of the, you know, the highly scalable or the high scalability of cloud giants such as Google and AWS. It also helps us when we work, particularly at the residential scale. We're working in a market that's constantly evolving and changing, and we don't know quite how it's going to unfold. So taking that approach allows us to quickly adapt to any changes that do occur.
But it sounds to me like you're both looking for scale in terms of the partnerships that you're putting in place and you want to get to. So on the partnerships, which Charmaine talked at the beginning about how everyone's interested in this, what are you finding when you're talking to partners? Are you pushing open doors? Would you agree that everyone's interested, but it's can take a bit of time to convert that interest into commercial partnerships? So I'm interested in how you're finding that at the moment when you're talking to companies interested in this platform area. Sandra, you've got a few partnerships or a number of partnerships already across a few markets. How will that move forward, do you think? Slowly, quickly, easily, with a lot of challenge?
Yeah, it can never be fast enough, right? So I think what we figured out is you need to be at the right point in time at the right place. You can talk to some of the companies for 1, 2, 3 years. You have good relationships, and you think, okay, it will go nowhere, and then all of a sudden you're at the right time talking to the right person, and then they have a need. Because the key issue and key success factor is what we see. You need to find the need on one side for aggregating that flexibility, and then on the other side, also on the end customer side. Because otherwise, in the residential sector, it's quite difficult to convince the customer to join that platform.
And how would you
And when we
characterize that, Sandra? Is the need do when you talk with potential partners, is everyone understanding the need but not confident enough to step forward yet? Or are people trying to discover what their need is? What are
I
you?
think it's a mixture. It's a mixture. So on one side, many of the utilities are still in the discovery phase to really see what the customer need is. And then in the second step, it's also on how much risk they want to take to go into that service offering, going away from just offering a tariff to I offer you a service and additional value is for many of them quite new. So it just takes a bit of time to go through that transition and also be sure if you bring out a new product on the market that it resonates with the customer base.
Connor, how are you finding similar things to what Sandra described, or anything different?
So I think there are definitely some similarities. Again, we're talking to lots of people across electric vehicles, electric heat, and home energy storage, and there's definitely a wide variety of sort of maturity in people's thinking about getting on board with the energy transition. So take one of our earliest partnerships with Dimplex, the world's largest electric heating manufacturer. They've been thinking about their heaters as flexible assets for quite a long time. So they were ready to make that jump, and we've helped them unlock what they've known was possible for quite a few years. And then with other potential partners, they know that there is something there, but it's kind of, you have to, as Sandra said, you have to kind of go on a journey with them and wait until the time is right for them to make that leap. But I think one of the things we've definitely noticed over the last, even the last 2 years, is that the conversations that we have with partners, people are getting more and more clued up as to how the energy system is changing and how they can play a part with whatever their device types may be.
Hmm. Okay, so...
and probably to add what Connor was saying, I think what is really important and what he was mentioning is it's a journey that you go with the customer. It's not that we have like an easy product that you take out of the shelf as a platform and you say you can take it and you use it tomorrow. I think for both of us, it's really a journey that you take together with the customer to build up also the business model behind.
Yes, and that takes time. So Charmaine, when you look across Europe, how many other companies similar to Tyco and Kaluza are you seeing active in this area, or similar types of areas?
Well, I think it's still fairly new, but there are a lot of different companies. And you got to remember, it's quite a different role to the role that traditional players in the energy system have played in the past. So this kind of intermediary role. And people are doing that from a utility perspective, so building things in-house, to startups, to product manufacturers who are looking at opportunities just adjacent or beyond their kind of traditional sphere. So it's really quite a range of companies, and there's quite a few of them. And I think both Connor and Sandra touched on that kind of different but fairly consistent elements of the value chain. So some people doing the total end-to-end, some people doing bits of it. And some of them are software only, some of them are embedded in hardware, but how they kind of evolve that offering, how they make it work with as many devices as possible, how they might, you know, start to look at different protocols and things like that, I think is one of the questions that many of them are going through at the moment.
Okay, so we said at the beginning it's a hot topic. There's more and more interest, more and more realization that you will need to knit together all of these assets like electric vehicles, batteries, hot water tanks, heat pumps. And many people on that discovery path at the moment to looking at how they can, where the opportunities might be and how they can move forward. So on that theme, I think it's now that time in the podcast to bring out our Talking New Energy crystal ball. All of my three guests, particularly for Connor and Sandra, Charmaine Moore, looking at the sector overall, where do you think you'll be in the next 3 to 5 years? And if you had to pick one challenge in getting there, what would you pick out? Connor, let's start with you.
So this is, I think we're in a really exciting period where we're starting to see the investment we've put in over the last few years in building automated, scalable process start to really pay off. So we're installing devices in high volume every week, and our sort of load under management is constantly ticking up without needing much management. It's just happening in the background. So I think in 3 to 5 years we can expect to have a large portfolio of highly distributed connected residential devices, and see residential platforms like ours have moved from sort of the fringes of the sector into really sort of the centerpiece of the energy system.
Okay, and your biggest challenge in getting to that point?
So I think a lot of the challenges we face are related to policy and regulation, not being able to keep up with the pace of innovation and technological advancement. So, and that can go from super detailed things like some of the you know, the processes we have to do to onboard like a new V2G charger to the grid, for example, to really sort of high level policy decisions that are being made about how network charging is applied and what impact that has on flexibility at the edges of the network, and having the right incentives in place to make sure that people who want to play a part in the energy transition can realize the full value of their contribution.
Okay, so policy and regulation unlocking the value and the opportunity. Sandra, how about you? Where will you be in 3 to 5 years and your biggest challenge?
So in 3 to 5 years, we hope to be in more countries than we are now, having also much more assets connected than we have today, mm-hmm. and being a real competition to the existing conventional power plants in the system. For the biggest challenge, I agree with Connor. On one side, it's the regulation. On the other side, I would also add it's a bit the decision-making time frame and timeline of our potential partners.
Okay.
Which gives us sometimes a challenge.
Yeah, building them having the confidence to take a step forward, to invest, to do something new.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And Charmaine, from your perspective, looking across the sector, where do you think we'll be? How quickly will this move forward? Or what will the biggest challenge be?
Well, I think it is happening and it needs to happen because of the kind of growth in devices. I think the question that I'm thinking about if I step back for a minute is it going to be a question of one platform, one winner takes it all, or will it actually be a much more disparate kind of ecosystem of lots of different types of platforms, you know, performing best at lots of different types of actions within the energy system? So for some of the listeners who may be old enough to remember, will it be video versus Betamax? I'm not sure. So that's the kind of thing that I'm thinking about at the moment. And well, I'm hoping that in 3 years' time we'll have a better view on that, but probably not.
Connor, Sandra, any views on whether one platform or a few platforms will dominate before we finish, or whether we'll have a complex ecosystem of different types of platforms for different types of assets?
I think at the moment we're already starting to see platforms plug into platforms and fulfilling different parts of that value chain. I expect that'll continue because we're still in sort of the market's in infancy, and people are not going to be discouraged from plowing ahead with their plans with their platform for a while. But I think in the medium to longer term, they'll definitely, I mean, consolidation makes sense. Some people will become experts in delivering either the whole value chain or parts of it, and some of the smaller players will start to drop off.
Sandra, your view?
I think as well there will be some consolidation coming, but also there will be still different kind of players with different kind of focus on their platforms in the market, because it's different if you use a platform to build up a virtual power plant or if you build up a platform to just focus on an energy management system, or if you want to combine both, for example. And there will be different players for sure in the future.
So my overall take on this is I think it's a certainty that this new aspect of the energy sector will grow. There's a lot of discovery at the moment, a lot of taking existing companies on a journey, as you've talked about, and a lot more in the next years to shake down in terms of exactly who does what in what part of the value chain where. But certainly a fascinating sector, one that I think will grow quickly in the next years, and one that is bound to be a very significant part of the electricity system going forward. So thanks to my guests, Charmaine, thanks as always for your views and comments.
No problem.
Sandra, thanks for joining us. I think from Berlin is where you are at the moment.
Exactly. You're welcome. It was a pleasure.
And Connor, thanks from London, if I get that right.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you to the listeners, and we look forward to welcoming you back for next week's podcast. Goodbye.